Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm very nervous, as I get when I meet my heroes, and I'm blessed that in the studio is my comedy hero, possibly the funniest man in the world. I've told you this before, Jimmy. You made me cry with laughter one night when I went to see you in Banbridge. Jimmy Cricket is here. Good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning, John. Good morning, listeners. Just great to be here.
It's great to see you, and you look great.
Well, Mrs. Cricket said, get a tie on there, get the old jacket on, and we sort of flew over today, and there was a wee bit of rain coming down there, but I want to find out, you were here, John, because you've had some lovely times. We did a lovely show. You did a series of all the local Northern Ireland comedians, and you went back to their roots, and it was so emotional. You took me back to Cookstown.
I did.
County Tyrone, where I sort of was born and when I was a baby. And
you were sort of born there.
Yeah. It was a surprise to the mummy. She was in Belfast at the time. Now, but you arranged with your lovely producer to get the Killy Moon Flute Band walk down the street, because I remember when I was in the pram, I would hear it. But they played a nice hymn, if I remember, that day. But so thanks, John. Thanks. It was just the memories were very warm of you.
No, it was a lovely series. It was called Comic Asides.
Exactly.
And there was yourself and, interestingly, Roy Walker, Adrian Walsh and Jean Fitzpatrick, who are all joining you in the current show. Do you see what I did there?
What a beautiful link.
Oh.
I think you should take this up for a living, John.
I've been practicing for the last 40 years and I'm still not getting it right, Jimmy, and you know it only too well.
Yes, well, funny enough, while we're on that subject, I've got to go over in my head, you see, because obviously we've got the wonderful promoter, David Hull, who's taken us all to give us a bit of a run out. And his lovely PR girl, Michelle.
Michelle's
it's
there,
McNeil Theatre in Larne is the Thursday, John.
That's right, the 21st of March.
Yeah, and I've never played that theatre, so I am very excited, you know.
But you're a big fan of Larne.
Oh, yeah, well, we come in from the Stranraer, Mrs. Cricket, we've been coming in for years with the kids from the Stranraer, you see, over to Larne. So, yeah, it's beautiful.
And then the Opera House.
Ah.
On the Friday.
Well, the prodigal son there, for a lot of us there, Roy Walker and Adrian Welsh and Jean Fitzpatrick. But we also have musical interludes, John, from the one and only Club Sound.
Oh, brilliant.
Well, and Geordie Jones will be on hand because he's mine host, isn't he, really?
Yeah, he's brilliant.
And it's only three shows, to be honest with you, John, because we finish the next night, which, if my memory serves me right, is the 23rd of March.
That's it.
And that would be at the Riverside Theatre in Coleraine.
Thank
you very much for mentioning. Some presenters get a bit tentative. But John, you are open. You make sure the interview is mutually advantageous to both of us, and that the listener, if they want to come out for a live show, at least they know where they stand, you know?
Absolutely. So that's next Thursday the 21st, McNeil Theatre in Larne, then Friday the 22nd at the Opera House, Saturday the 23rd, the Riverside Theatre in Coleraine. I remember the first night that I ever saw Club Sound, about 100 years ago, and again, hilarious.
Oh, they are. They are. Because they mix, the great Eric Markham used to say, music and comedy is a potent force. And the boys mixed it beautifully. And that, the Shankill Airlines was always a great.
Unbelievable.
It's a little
brilliant
classic that even older people remember.
Yeah.
When I ring Geordie up and say, hello, is that Shankill Airlines?
It's brilliant. And I'm sure, I'll say this to anybody listening, I'm sure if you Google Shankill Airlines or Shankill Airways or Club Sound, you'll find that song.
Oh, I bet.
And it is.
And you can still laugh. It's timeless.
It's still funny. It's still hilarious. Jimmy, you went from Cookstown, from those early days. Did you find that comedy was like a defense mechanism? Did you use it as
Yes.
That?
Yeah, very much. People then... you became the center of attraction. You know, if I, when you're small and a grown-up laughs at you, you love it. You know, you want to be, it gives you that feeling. And,
it's a buzz, even at school, isn't it? A buzz.
Oh, it is. It is. I remember one, day at school, the Mr. Delaney, I was at St. Patrick's Barnegieha. And Mr. Delaney said, did anybody hear that the big fight last night? This would have been the late 50s. So it was, Ingemar Johansson, the Swedish, heavyweight champion. And he versed, Floyd Patterson. For the heavyweight championship of the world and all. And I got up, because I did, my father was, they were very big in that, my older brother John, and I said I did. And he said, oh, you know, would you like to explain what happened? And I don't know what I did, John, there, but I had the class, which, and so, you know, it sort of pinpointed, I'm going to carry on doing this. I want to make a career here.
And it was worth the trip to school from Cookstown to Barney every morning, wasn't it?
You know, actually, John, I got two buses from Andersonstown, so it was quite a journey, and then two buses back. So when you think, when I look back at my school, how many buses would I got out a week? We've got four a day.
Four a day, 20 a week.
20 a week.
So that's about...
That's amazing, that's, really.
That's a lot of buses.
Yeah.
That's more buses than Verna Hoybeck has.
I had a school lad. You know the way a lot of people at that time, when the Elvis Presley would be out and John Wayne would be in the movies, or Marlon Brando. My idol was a fellow schoolmate. He wasn't in my class, and he was called Tommy Tucker Kelly. And why I was besotted with Tommy, he was the same age as me, he was playing broker's man, at one of the broker's men, in the Cinderella pantomime in the Grand Opera House.
Wow.
And I used to see him get off for the matinees on a Wednesday. And I thought, this is great at his age.
And would that have been a dream for you at that time?
Yes. And when I got to play Buttons myself in Cinderella in 1988, I made it my business to look up Tommy. And he was wonderful. We sat down, we chewed the fat. He'd carried on with the business and went to and played the Northern Clubs, and he did impressions and trumpet music. Yes. Great, a very animated, beautiful singer and mover. But he then went into business, and he had three fish and chip shops by then. But here's the big story. Come closer, John, and listeners. His daughter then, when we worked together, you weren't in Jack and the Beanstalk.
No.
The panto we were in was in Robinson Crusoe.
That's right.
Right. No, it was Jack and the Beanstalk, and Tommy came in again with his young daughter, who was only five, Rachel, and one of the dancers, Dee Doherty, said to me, oh, you know, Tommy's in tonight, and his daughter's lovely. Get her up to see, he's brilliant. So at the end, at the song sheet, I said, we have this, a great, he was my hero, we were both small, he was in panto, he had a great career, Tommy Tucker Kelly, and his daughter, Rachel, who's got a great voice, and the MD, nearly, he had kittens, you know the music, he
yes.
said, he shuts up, where's the music? But Tommy, ever the pro, stood up from his seat and shut it to the pianist, B flat, whatever the thing was, and
yes.
she got up and she did a great version of a sort of contemporary pop song at that time. And she went on, would you believe, John, Rachel Tucker now. She's a West End star.
She is.
She was in The Sting when he took his musical about the Geordie Shipyard,
right. Yeah,
to Broadway.
Yes.
And I think she was in one of the Andrew Lloyd Webber when they were, look, how do you treat a problem for Maria? If not that one, Nancy. Defined the
she
Nancy for
brilliant.
The next Oliver Twist. So,
what a voice.
It's a lovely, Tucker, Tommy passed the baton down to his daughter.
Yeah. But that also shows your generosity as well, Jimmy, which is one of the features that I love about you.
Ah, well, you're very kind, John.
Not at all.
Emotional here.
I remember reading years ago that you started off in Butlins.
Yes.
How did you get from Barnegieha to Butlins?
Right, that's lovely. Well, you've given me a wonderful link, because I happen to have a book here.
No.
My autobiography.
An autobiography. Who wrote that?
I did, because I was there at the time, John. And you can't buy it in bookstores.
You can't.
It is available on Amazon for £15.99, but if you come to the theatres, either the McNeil and Lorne, the Grand, there'll be a tenner. And I give a quid to Mary's Meals, John. So that's my wee
plug.
What
a great charity.
Yeah. But no, to answer your question, which obviously during the pandemic, a lot of people did write. They were motivated to write, and it was a great moment because there was no work. So, and I don't like doing nothing. When you do nothing, you don't know when you finish. So I thought, I'm going to get stuck in here. And, yes. So from the Barney Geha, there was a little bit of time when I sort of did talent shows and things. And my brother Brian came home from Butlins of Musney,
yes,
across the border there in County Meath. And he said he'd been there, and they had these people called Redcoats at the camp who helped everybody have a good time. Through the day, they would organize darts and things, and at evening, they'd be in the bars doing a sing-song, and they always had a Redcoat show each week where different Redcoats would perform, some magicians, some comics. And that was my sort of my first big taste of live theater.
It Do you remember that feeling?
Pardon?
Do you remember that feeling?
Oh, very much so. But it served a problem I didn't really realize at the time. I'd never been out of Belfast. And it was broad and very quick, and a big theatre you have to project. So a lot of people from the Free State, I mean, they loved the Redcoats. I knew them all through the day, and they would applaud and everything. But I see them physically straining. So I had to be a wee bit visual for that summer. But the 2 weeks when I brought the house down were the 12th of July and the week after, when all the people came from Northern Ireland. So that was
you
it.
You learned so much from that.
From that, it was easy to get into the Redcoat over in England.
Yes.
So that was my little trampoline bit part of my career. That's how that...
And so many comedians used that as their training ground, as their apprenticeship.
Oh, Dave Allen, Charlie Drake, Des O'Connor, Roy Hood. And then when I went to Pontins to be a blue coat, and then went back to do the cabaret, then the next generation went to Pontins. Shane Ritchie, Brian Connolly.
And they're doing a show together with
Bradley Walsh.
Yes.
At the London Palladium. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Mrs. Cricket, actually, she's great for the old social networking. So she lets me know what's happening, you see. And so, yeah, that should be a great show.
It should be. It sounds amazing.
I think Joe Pasquale's on it
as well. Yeah. Lovely man.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely man and very fabulous. Funny. Great voice. Yeah. Great singing voice. But let's move on. So, talk to me about the family. You've mentioned Mrs. Cricket a couple of times.
Yeah.
Is Dale still working with the hospice?
In Bury, he is. And last night we went round to his house because he learned the piano when he was a kid. So we're going through a few wee songs because there's a little parish hall near where we live, and every couple of months I try things. So his wife plays the flute because she's a music teacher. My grandson's doing the drums. So we're a bit of a Partridge family, a bit of a
Brilliant.
Brady Bunch. We were trying to think of a name for them, you know, well, we call them the Jammy Dodgers or something like that. So
the Crickets. Oh, no, it's been done.
It's been That's done. Been There's done, a fella yeah. called Buddy Holly, you see. But so there you are, John. We keep the whole edifice going. It's exciting, isn't it?
And what about the others? How's Frankie doing?
Frankie, I work with Frankie Monday night, our Frank. He's been a parish priest for 10 years, but now he's up working in Dalmally in Scotland for Mary's Meals. He does the missionary work there, but he was booked we did the Royal, is it the Central Hall, Concert Hall in Glasgow, because
Does he still marry the two?
He does, he compared.
He still does comedy and comparing.
Yes, because we had the singing priest on the show, Ray, who was on Britain's Got Talent.
Oh, yes,
who was on YouTube when he sang Hallelujah to the Married Couple.
At the wedding.
So, yes, and they bust all the parishioners in from Glasgow. So that was a magical night. And I hadn't actually worked. Obviously, we see my son all the time. He comes home to us in Rochdale. But actually doing a little bit with him on Monday night was actually very, very emotionally.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Of course. And you must feel great pride when you see what he's doing, how he's making a difference to people's lives.
Yes.
And
he's
also
spreading the gospel, John.
That he has, like yourself, he has felt those vibes at home. Yeah. And he has always wanted to be funny. He's always wanted
He loves
to get
comedy.
That reaction from people.
He loves
I remember
comedy.
He was on the radio with me. You probably remember this.
Oh, he did the weather. I remember.
And he did the weather.
The weather
and
podcast.
He said, come here closer to the radio. He said, today will be muggy. Tomorrow will be chuggy. Then wiggity. Then thurgy. Brilliant.
I know.
He was destined for greatness.
Yeah, and there's icing on the M1 and marzipan on the M2.
That's right.
Yeah. He did a great gag on Monday Night, actually. He said that the guy came up to him with the tattoos, big tough guy, and said, Father, can you help me, you know, with me, give me a blessing for my hearing? So Frankie gave him the blessing. He said, how's your hearing now? He said, well, it's not next Wednesday. That's when I appear in court. And so...
So
he's still getting mixing the sort of two, you know.
And did Katie ever want to get into comedy?
Oh, she does. She had a great bit of luck, John. She wrote a play that was put on in Liverpool. She won, I'm going back 12, 15 years ago. But of course, then she's got two little boys. So she still does the comedy clubs. But obviously, it's multitasking, isn't it, really?
Of course.
Bless her. But
she's got that big job at home. She's got that big job at home.
Of course. Yeah. But what she does now, she actually puts shows on the afternoon for mothers with children so they can bring their babies, like comedy afternoons, which
what
I think is
a
lovely idea. Yeah. Yeah.
What a great idea. Mm. Particularly mothers who've had their first babies.
Yeah, and they can bring the kids away and then enjoy
that's
the
fantastic.
Fun and then have a day out as well.
But you become isolated a bit. I just know from our own experience, you're spending so much time looking after baby, and if there are more than one of them looking after the babies, you become isolated and your opportunities for socialization are limited. That's a great idea to allow mothers to come out, to have a bit of crack, and also to meet others in the same situation as them.
Of course, yeah.
That's fantastic. So obviously, your greatest pride is your children. But would the second greatest be your knighthood?
Yeah,
Sir
Jimmy. Lovely of you to bring that up, John, because obviously you don't want to. Yeah, because that came out of the blue, really. There was a couple in Liverpool that I'd done some charity work, and they were sort of champions. I think there's a lot of people deserve things like that, but if they don't have champions, you know. Bill and Sue were very good when I did shows. They had a doctor friend and they wanted me to do some shows in Liverpool so they could send money over to train young doctors, you know, give them money to go to school to be able to help their own people.
Yes.
That's the big thing about Mary's Meal is that's why, you know, that I always give a pound from every book, because they make sure that the children, instead of foraging for food, if they come into the school, they have this maize which can be grown. The fathers grow it. It's like a porridge with nutrients. The mothers give it out. But when they're there, they see all their friends. And then they learn without knowing. It's such an ingenious idea. And I think they're now up 2 million children.
That's fantastic.
You know,
that is just brilliant.
It is, John. It's mind-blowing. It's just something so good when we see, obviously, problems in the world with some of the strife that's going on. Just to get feel-good stories, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so you've got a papal knighthood, and you got that from Pope Francis, is that right?
Yes, a cardinal had signed him on his behalf, and the parish priest came round to see me. And it was coming up to my birthday, so I thought he just bought me a wee present for the birthday, you see. But he opened it up. It was in Latin, my name, you know, James Joseph Mulgrew.
Yes.
Giacomo, it's in Latin, Mulgrew and things, you know. So you put the thing up on the wall.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah. Well, you know, in those times, John, when you feel a little bit low, the work isn't coming in, or we all get them.
How do you deal with those times?
Well, you just look up and think, well, I did something right. Oh, yeah. Good.
But apart from that, that's momentary. How do you deal with those times whenever things are a bit quieter? Now, you are brilliant at what you do, and that's why the phone still rings.
Right.
But for lots of people involved in broadcasting, media, or show business, as time moves on, the phone rings less and less.
Right.
So what advice would you give to them? How do you deal with those moments when it's quiet, week after week?
Right. Well, if they have a faith, I would use my Christian faith, but I would get an inspirational book. There's some wonderful ones. Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill. Success Through a Positive Mental Attitude, Napoleon Hill, and Clement Stone. Norman Vincent Peale's got the Power Positive Thing. And I think they've got motivators that say every adversity has the seed of an equivalent or greater benefit.
Wow. See, because, give us that again, please.
Right, I'll go slow for
every
a
every adversity.
Every adversity has the seed of an equivalent or greater benefit. I suppose it's other ways of saying turn a lemon into a lemonade might be an easier way to say it. And you see, because our business, traditional comedy, that went down. You know, the fly on the wall, the reality thing. So, but that was great because that then I did my own DVD. I sold it because I thought if there's a market out there for you, that people come and buy it in your shows. So that got me through that time. Look at the Green Shoots of Recovery will always come. It's all done. I still rehearse and work every morning on me, the juggling and the saxophone playing. So, you know, when you go out, it's like a first night. And if that generates more work. So if you've got an act, you'll never starve, John. That's the great thing, you know.
Every night's the first night, isn't it?
And that's the way to look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because maybe all right, I've been blessed to have had 4 TV series and 5 radio series. But at the end of the day, when people pay their money and come and see the shows next week, they want to see what you now, and I'm just happy to oblige with what I do contemporary, you know? Yeah.
Trends come and go, but funny is funny.
Well, I like to think that. Timeless, family orientation.
Yeah.
No upsetting the apple cart.
Which you've always done. It's always been that.
It's been my mantra, John.
Yes. Never to exclude anyone.
No, not a bit.
So there's yourself, Roy Walker, Adrian Walsh, Gene Fitzpatrick at the McNeil Theatre in Larne next Thursday. At the Grand Opera House next Friday, the 22nd. Sorry, the Grand Opera House in Belfast, just to clarify. And then on Saturday, the 23rd, at the Riverside Theatre in Coleraine. That is going to... I've omitted to mention that Club Sound will be there as well.
Thank you, John.
Are going to be great nights.
Thank you.
And do you know what that is? That is a history of comedy in this part of the world.
Yeah, pretty much when you
say
it like that.
In one show.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Jimmy, it's always great to see you. It's
always
a pleasure. And you light up a room every time you walk in. So thank you for lighting up this room for us this morning. Jimmy Cricket.
Pleasure. Thanks, John.
I might be retired.